Welcome to Creative Disturbance. Audio Labs.
Rencontre avec.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
Tommaso Calarco.
Tommaso Calarco, you are a physicist and a quantum physicist. You are director of a Center for Integrated Science and Technology at the University of Ulm in Germany. And you also are involved in a European Union science decision, should I say. So that is, you're a member of a high-level steering committee for quantum technologies flagship. So I think you need to explain us a little bit what this is for people who are not involved in this kind of project. And you're also the lead scientist for the RISC Rebirth simulator quantum project, of which Evelina Domnic and Dimitri Gelfand are artists in residence within this FET project. But first, could you explain what you do with the in your daily job as a scientist and in the EU policy?
In my daily job as a scientist, I'm a theoretician, so I calculate, I invent ways in which you can manipulate quantum systems in order to perform some technological tasks. For instance, one would like to use atoms as bits to create maybe a quantum computer or a quantum simulator. And now, how do you combine those atoms? How do you bring them together? How do you make sure that they perform these tasks so that you can get, for instance, a logical operation? You have some external controls like laser fields or electromagnetic fields. And by the way, those are the same elements that you see in Evelina and Dimitri's exhibition that we witnessed today. And now what I am doing is, instead of creating something beautiful, as they do with these things, I try to create something useful, like making those atoms behave in a way that is performing technological tasks. And this is really the connection to the European aspect, in the sense that the European Commission, based on the Quantum Manifesto that I wrote together with some colleagues a few months ago, decided in April to create a big program for 1 billion euros over 10 years, which is a quantum technologies flagship. And now, what are those quantum technologies that the Commission wants to create? Well, there are different applications. They go from computing, as I mentioned, to secure communications, to sensing and imaging. And the common denominator among all these applications is we are doing technology based on manipulating individual quantum systems. Nowadays, we have a lot of quantum technologies. It is in our pockets. The device we are using to record this interview would not be possible without mastery of the laws of quantum mechanics, because this is what enables transistors, for instance, to be built. The broadcast of this information would not be possible because quantum mechanics, because the information on the internet travels on optical fibers, which are powered by lasers which encode information. None of this would be possible without quantum mechanics. However, this is the first quantum revolution, last century's stuff, in which for every bit that we are having in our devices, there are many, many, many electrons in circuits, many, many, many photons in our optical fibers. Now, the second quantum revolution is when we use, instead of many particles per bit, one single electron, one single atom, one single photon, and then we have amazing properties from quantum mechanics, which lead to security in communications, which lead to extreme sensitivity in measurement devices, which lead to enormous computational power for computing and simulation. And so these are the different technologies which are now being investigated worldwide, and the Commission wants to invest very strongly there.
Future, emerging art, and technology.
I would like to come to the reason you are here in Nantes, today, which is not your daily job, so somehow reason, but artworks. So I would like to ask you, why were you interested to have an artist in residence within your FET project? Why did you join this FET project?
Well, there are different reasons. One is a personal reason that I am personally very fascinated by art and by contemporary art. But of course, this is not something specific to our project or to the FET project. Another important point was that, as you mentioned, quantum phenomena are perceived as very mysterious or obscure or even exoteric, if you wish. And it is very important as we develop technologies that can be used by people that we try to communicate, to reach out to just common people, non-specialists, in order to make them more familiar with these ideas. And so I thought that art would be an excellent vector for collaboration and for outreach in this sense. But beyond that, and this is a dimension that developed as we got involved in dialogue with Evelina and Dimitri, those artists which are in residence in our project, as they started interacting with our scientists, everybody is realizing increasingly that there is an enormous added benefit, which is sort of the conceptual depths that are opened by this reflection about our systems from a different point of view, from a point of view from art, philosophy, but still with a very keen understanding of what the science is. So this is helping open our minds in the same way that art opens the minds of, you know, the viewers just in general. This is very true also in terms of science. Some of the deepest conversations we had about foundations of quantum mechanics with some of my colleagues have taken place stimulated by interaction with Evelyn and Dimitri. And so we are very happy to have them, not only for outreach, not only for beauty of what they are doing, but also for our own intellectual nurturing, so to say, and you know, developing new ideas.
Do you think you could give an example or...
One example is a conversation we had, a very heated conversation we had with my colleague Philippe Congier, who is coordinating with me the FET Risk Project, in a car when we were in Naples, you know, going for dinner with Evelyn and Dimitri to have some very good pizza after our workshop to which they participated in the beginning of September. And Philippe Congier is one of the protagonists of this field and has been since its very beginning, because he was involved in the experiments that showed that Bell's inequalities are violated, which means, in other words, in common words, that physical reality does not exist locally. And this is one of the things that opened up a lot of ideas, applications, even in direction of quantum technologies. And this is very nice because it connects some tangible applications to some foundational, almost philosophical questions. And these philosophical questions, they connect to questions of what is physical reality, what is an object, what is an observer, what does it mean to observe and to measure? Because in quantum mechanics, observation changes the nature of the physical process. And so we are having some deep discussion about interpretations of quantum mechanics. And Philippe, my colleague, is someone who is very, very deep into these things and very, very convinced of his opinions because he reflects very deeply about them. But now, what happened? I was very struck by this because Evelina made a very simple remark, which left my colleague and myself very perturbed. And I have yet to grasp the full depth of this, which might have implications in different directions. And this statement was that she said, an instrument is an extension of your consciousness. And at first, as a physicist, you would say, oh, no, no, no. This is, I mean, what do you mean? You know, my consciousness, I'm a thinking being, and an instrument is something which is external to me. And then the first reaction was, look, but, you know, come on, an instrument like a stone, you know, if I throw a stone, it can be an instrument, but how can consciousness be there? And Evelina said, well, maybe a stone, yes, not so much, but what the Hubble telescope? In the sense that that is also an instrument, it is an object, but it incorporates, it embodies a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, it transfers knowledge, it is really an extension, in a sense, of, you know, what we can perceive. And this is one typical example of something which goes straight at the bottom of the foundation of our scientific reflection in an entirely different way, in a completely unexpected way, which made us jump on our seat in the car, okay, and react very angrily almost to this. And this was the beginning of, as I said, one of the most fascinating conversations I had on the foundations of quantum mechanics in years. And so this is just one example, a very simple statement, which twists our way of looking at things. And this can be really the source for new developments.
So you said earlier that you were interested in contemporary art, so I would like to know in what sense and what kind of art you're interested in.
I am interested as a sort of normal viewer, let's say, into, you know, both the classic contemporary and like last century, like my favorite sculptor of the last couple centuries, Louis Bourgeois, for instance. It's actually remarkable because I have two children and I brought them to the Venice Biennale a couple of years ago, and it was an experiment because, you know, you walk with the children for like 15 hours over 2 days, and in the end they were completely enthusiastic. And my daughter, which was 7 at the time, it was unexpected to me. And then, I realized that through her eyes that contemporary art is nothing like what, you know, maybe if you are used, let's say, to impressionism and you are, you know, stuck with that kind of art, and then you say, oh, this is not understandable. No, for my children, it's something which is very immediate. And some things they will not like because they cannot relate, and some things they will be very enthusiastic, like any art, you know, throughout the ages. And so this sort of fresh approach, like you can enjoy, you can have pleasure, is what draws me in general as a viewer to contemporary art. So my personal preference, also due to maybe some my professional life, so to say, is I'm very fascinated by conceptual art because of its disembodiment and objectlessness, if you wish. And I'm very fascinated by performance art. So what we are doing after this trip to Nantes, we are going to Paris with my son to visit at Maison Populaire an exhibition in which there is one work of Evelyn and Dimitri, actually maybe their masterpiece, Camera Lucida. Then we are going to Centre Pompidou because there is an exhibition about Russian artists in which Sergei Bugayev is also exhibiting there. And we are also going to Palais de Tokyo because there is Tino Segal with this amazing show that opened a few days ago. All of this is you know, very involving me because I'm also doing music. So my art side is we have an a cappella choir also in the family. We sing madrigals, so a cappella Renaissance polyphonic music, and performance art, and it's performance. So performance art, I can relate to that. Actually, one piece that I am conceiving and together with Evelyn and Dimitri in collaboration with the Deutsches Museum in Munich for possibly an exhibition on quantum technologies is what I call the Dalai Lama atom. And this is a little story, which is we have been told in school that you do not see single atoms. You cannot see them, but maybe with these electronic microscopes, some pictures, whatever. So here comes the Dalai Lama, because when I was in Innsbruck as a young postdoc, 1 week after arriving there, I take my bike and I try to bike home, and across comes the Dalai Lama. He came all the way from Tibet to visit my colleague Anton Zeilinger, with whom he was having some philosophical discussions. And on the way on one of these discussions, he visited the lab of my colleague Rainer Blatt. And Rainer Blatt in his lab had one trap, so a device, which is very similar to one of the works that are here, only a little smaller, but not much smaller, in which you can trap one single atom, one single ion. And then you can light it up with a laser, very much like Evelyn and Dimitri are doing. And then between this atom and your eye, there are only lenses, no electronics, only lenses. And you can see it. If you get used to the darkness, like in the exhibition here, you can see the single atom. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, came all the way because he didn't want to have it told by someone or to see a movie or a picture. His Holiness wanted those photons from that atom to impinge on his very own holy retina. And I can tell you that this is a life-changing experience, because you see that something that you thought is beyond perception, it's very mysterious. No, it is there in front of your eyes. It is very tangible, and it is the basis of quantum technologies. So the piece that I am conceiving together with Evelyn and Dimitri, and I already discussed with the director of the Deutsches Museum, is, okay, now we have an atom performing, the smallest object you can have in a museum, in a collection. And then, you know, I picture a long line of people outside of the museum, and they enter in this little room, and inside it, they don't meet Marina Abramovic, okay, sitting there, but they sit in front of the single atom. And like when you sit across Marina Abramovic and you are wondering who is you, who is me, and there is a lot of things going on, now you can do the same with the single atom, and this is going to be a life-changing experience in a similar sense, because now you relate with something which is not the other person, but it is as transcendent, because it is the infinitely small but still tangible. So this is one of the connections that I have to contemporary conceptual and performance art, which again bring us back to quantum mechanics in a way.
So you mentioned your interest in contemporary art, mostly in conceptual art and performance. Were you aware, or had you already encountered those artworks that are dealing with science and technology, like what Evelina and Dimitri are doing, or was it new to you?
So I was aware that such art existed, because I know since a long time, one of the initiators of this STARTS program at the European Commission level, he was 15 years ago a project officer for quantum technologies. He even got a PhD with my own postdoc supervisor in Innsbruck, Peter Zoller. So I knew that these activities existed, but I had never encountered it. I was completely fascinated because it really opened, at least the work that Evelina and Dimitri are doing, it is really a new dimension, because it is not, it is of course very visual, it contains performance, but it is not anything like I've seen before, also from the conceptual sense, conceptual point of view. And having these physical phenomena and exhibiting those physical phenomena, but also developing them in such a way that they turn out fascinating and beautiful. On one end, it is very similar to what we are doing, because what we are doing in science is manipulating and investigating and unraveling the fascination, really. This is curiosity-driven research, which is the basis also for quantum technologies. But, you know, coming from an entirely different angle, because what is important for them is that this is beautiful. And beautiful is something which is not relating necessarily with, you know, some visual aspect, but it is the beauty of the experience of what is happening there. And well, actually, we had another conversation in the same car when we discussed this instrument consciousness thing. We had another discussion because my colleague was representing a view according to which art is linked to emotions, you know. And this time, at the same time, Evelina, Dimitri and myself, we jumped on the seat and we attacked him very wildly, you know, because, I mean, this is against, really very deeply against the way I view art. I was very happy in that context that to see some resonance with the real artist there. And this is beauty in a different sense, which is not, well, it is not... It does not start from emotions, then of course it is extremely moving what is happening, but not because it talks to your emotions directly, but because it is such a deep aesthetic experience. It is, you know, something which is really changing the way you look at things, and then as a consequence, you know, this is something which is moving emotions inside you. But of course these objects, I mean, are almost emotionless in a sense per se in their minimalism, but then they stimulate, you know, a reflection about the beauty of what is around us. And in this sense, you know, it connects in a different way. I'm a very deep fan of Vermeer. There is a deep relationship for me between the kind of experience I have when I watch Vermeer and the kind of experience I have when I watch Evelina and Dimitri's work, because also Vermeer is making me wonder what is reality, making me wonder what is amazing in nature. And sometimes even, I think, at the lace maker, which is at the Louvre, you know, this entanglement of wires, you know, of threads, is really making me marvel at what is this, what is reality, how amazingly beautiful is the world because of the phenomena that unfold in it. And this is really something which is very deeply connecting to their work. So it is, on one end, completely different conceptually and even against visual art in a sense, on the other hand, connecting with the same questions that visual art at its top level has stimulated in centuries past.
Oh, so the last question, I think, is somehow irrelevant now, because the last question was, what were your expectations of having those, I mean, having artists in residence within the FET project, but obviously, unless you want to add something.
Well, I would say that the main expectation was the same expectation that you have when you do science, which is not about finding something, not about developing or achieving something, is about having fun, or maybe more precisely, having joy. There is a word in Latin which expresses this, which is also the name of the a cappella group that we have, which is Gaudium. It was really about developing Gaudium and joy, this sense of awe and of happiness combined. And this is what I hoped that one could develop, and it wildly exceeded the expectations.
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.